The Incomparable, number 535, October 2020.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Incomparable, a podcast in which we draft things. And in this episode, we're drafting Muppets. That's right, Muppets. This is not episode 266, which was a non-canonical, impromptu Muppet draft, where we drafted Muppets off the top of our head. This is a real draft for all the marbles. I mean, Muppets. And I want to be clear on the rules, but first, before I do that, I suppose I should introduce all the people who are going to be complaining to me about the rules. So, in the order in which they will pick as chosen moments ago by random.org, the following panelists will join me for a Muppet draft. Shelley Brisbane, hello.
Bork, 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 bork.
Kelly Gamont, hello.
Yep, 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 yep.
Monty Ashley, hi.
Jason, I've done so much research for this draft.
I believe it. I believe it. Quinn Rose.
I've done less research for this draft.
All right. But Quinn is with Stephen Hackett, the co-host of Bear Left, Right Frog, a Muppet-related podcast on this very network. Please check it out because they're going to watch all the Muppet movies and talk about them, which is awesome.
That's true. I guess I'm always doing research for the Muppets then.
It's true. Nathan Alderman is also here. Hello, Nathan.
You are all weirdos.
Philip Michaels is here.
Jason, why are there so many songs about rainbows? No, really, why are there? Because I've written a song about a rainbow, but I can't get anyone to pick it up.
I blame Paul Williams. That's what
I say. There's like three.
J. Laura is here. Hello.
With our very special guest star, Miss Valerie Harper. Yay!
I watched that one recently.
And may not be a canonical Muppet, but he's a Muppet in my heart. It's Moises Chilion. Hello.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to light the lights, Jason.
And if you're scoring at home, that's eight panelists.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12.
Rules. Okay, here they are. The Muppet Show obviously counts and related. Mm-hmm. Sesame Street obviously counts and related. Okay. Fraggle Rock, I guess, is technically a Muppet thing in
Those
terms of intellectual
Muppets,
property.
Yes. I'll tell you why, Jason.
They were in the family, the Muppet Family Christmas.
They were More importantly, they were in Muppets Take Manhattan. Uncle Traveling Matt is
That's true.
Yes.
At the end of Muppets Take Manhattan. There, ergo, Fraggle is a Muppet.
Right. Those awful early Saturday Night Live sketches involving like Skred and stuff.
Yep.
They're Muppets. Yeah. They're
Absolutely.
Fine. Pick them if you're bad at picking things.
They are a trap.
Emmett Otter of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Kermit was in it, so I guess if you want to go that way, you can. And then the only other thing I'll say is no aliases. I'm looking at you, Super Grover. We all know you're Grover.
No, I was going to pick Alistair Cookie.
Jason, I have further questions
okay.
about the rules.
As do I.
Oh, God.
Is it one Muppet per pick? Jason?
It is one Muppet per pick. However, I will entertain people to pick a group of Muppets that largely perform as a unit, but that's not the same as two distinct characters who act
on their own. This is going to get dangerous.
So if there's a
really
Muppet,
fast.
if you want to pick up Muppets that are just like these eight puppets that always appear together, that's fine. But you can't pick like Kermit and Fozzie because that is not how this works.
So you could pick like all the talking houses.
Sure.
Because the issue will be if there is one named talking house and somebody's already picked a group of talking houses.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is you can't pick Bert and Ernie. You can only pick Bert or Ernie.
Okay.
Does that help,
Jason? I have additional questions, Jason.
Pick
yes?
a side.
Jason,
we're at war.
I have additional questions.
Okay.
Is a Dark Crystal a Muppet?
I don't believe a Dark Crystal is a Muppet, Phil, nor is a Labyrinth.
Okay.
The Dark Crystal is a weapon designed to traumatize children.
Granted,
Jason,
also
Jason, I have more questions.
Yes,
Jason?
Yes, Phil.
Is Jim Henson's Presents a Muppet?
Yeah, good question.
Oh.
I don't know what that is, so no.
Well, yes, it is. Storyteller? The Jim Henson Hour?
Storyteller.
Dog City, Jason.
Oh, no,
Dog
I have City. Already been told by these cruel monsters that I cannot name the storyteller's dog.
Yes,
so.
List. In
Dog
the
City
end,
stars Ralph.
In the end, list of canonical Muppets on Wikipedia shall be my judge. And I will have no other judges before me.
Jason, I have one last question, yeah. Jason.
Yes, you promise it's the last question?
It is the last question.
Okay.
I assume we all have to pick Walter with our first pick.
Yeah, everybody gets Walter, of course.
Jason, one final actual question. How many rounds are you anticipating we're going to do?
At
this pace? 37.
At this pace, one, but it might be more like three or four. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
I still have one question.
Yes, David.
One question. What about Salmon Friends, where Kermit made his debut, and the other Muppets from that appeared in other Muppet things?
Yes, those are Muppets.
Wilkins and Wotkins.
Okay.
If you would like to pick archaic Muppets from the dawn of time, you will, and no one will be impressed or know what they are.
Not necessarily true.
You're right, David. You're right.
All right, I feel like I stepped in something there. I also reserve the right to just declare all your picks null and void if I choose to, because you displeased
me. He's going
to
take his podcast and go home.
Null and void. All right. Null and void.
That's how you have to do it, by the way.
Those are both Muppets.
Yeah, you get to draft null and void together, I assume.
And with that, let's get started, because this is not going to get any better. Shelley, pick a Muppet. I've always wanted to say that.
I've always wanted to hear you say it as well.
That sounds so wrong.
I'm going to pick one of my very favorite Muffets.
Little Miss Muffet off the board.
Do you know which draft you're actually here for, Shelley?
Wrong draft.
I'm in the wrong draft. Oh my goodness. I'm going to pick one of my very favorite Muffet. I did it again.
Jagged from Battlestar Galactica off the board.
If you do it one more time, you have to leave.
I know. I will pick one of my very favorite Muppets, which will adhere to a theme that I will describe later. And one of my very favorite Muppets is Beaker, assistant to Dr. Thank you. I was going to do it, but you guys have all done it for me, so thank you. Assistant to Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, he of the orange hair. And the he part is important to me because I've always thought of Beaker as one of the more potentially non-binary Muppets. Mm. But Beaker is styled as male, at least in terms of clothing. There's never any action that Beaker takes that indicates a gender. And Beaker's frame is such that they could be of either gender, in my opinion.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell you that Beaker, regardless of gender, for canonical purposes, is my first pick.
Now, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, however, uses he, him pronouns for Beaker, right? So either Dr. Bunsen Honeydew is horribly misgendering Beaker, or Beaker uses
those
pronouns.
I think we can't rule out the fact that Bunsen Honeydew is horribly hurtful towards Beaker.
It's true. And, also, and he may probably, have asked Beaker what his pronouns were, and he said, meep, meep.
Yeah, and Honeydew completely ignored and did not understand.
Yeah. No,
aren't Beaker's pronouns meep, merp?
Meep, merp. They are. Yep. That's it. Indeed. You got it. Nailed it. Okay, Beaker, who was definitely on my list, off the board immediately. Kelly, it's your choice.
Beaker was on my list, too, because when I get really excited, my voice goes up. And so I've had more than one person look at me when I get really excited and just start going, me, 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 me. So, yeah. Okay, I'm going to pick, for reasons near and dear to my heart, and part of this is because of my name, I'm going to pick Kermit. Because Kermit sings a song about how it's not easy being green, and my name is a particular variety of green. So I kind of always felt like he was talking to me.
Forest green?
So that's why I'm picking him. Because he always sang that song, and I always thought he was singing it to me.
He's also the most famous Muppet, which is my way of congratulating you and also saying, obvious pick, Kelly. No, it's good. It's fine. He was
Kermit is
up
their leader.
Even before we get to like Rainbow Connection and the Muppet movie and how Kermit is just the relentless optimist in the face of chaos. And in the face of adversity and in the face of whatever uphill struggle there is, Kermit is always the one who kind of looks at it and goes, well, if that's what we got to do, that's what we've got to do. And like just is an optimist on a subatomic level.
He's our hero.
So that's another thing I always appreciated about him is that he very much is able to rally people around him. Like, I always thought that was kind of an admirable skill, that he was able to kind of get everybody else to help pull in the same direction, regardless of what their agendas were.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing.
He's a leader.
He is.
Kermit, that's a very straightforward pick and a good one because Kermit is the best. I'm sure Monty's pick, which is next, will be less straightforward.
It's very straightforward.
In some ways, it's the opposite of Kermit.
Okay.
Well, you know, Jason, Sesame Street is all about learning and learning to get along with each other, mm-hmm. which is why it's awesome that they have a real jerk in the cast. Oscar the Grouch,
Yay!
The best Muppet.
I love Oscar.
Is always in a bad mood, and that's important because it shows children that it's okay to be in a bad mood. Also,
and everyone's friends with him anyway. Like, that's the thing is, like, everybody's just like, yeah, he's feeling kind of mean today, but like, it doesn't faze anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Oscar likes trash. He doesn't care what you think of that. He's into trash. And all of his friends are like, yeah, Oscar likes trash. We don't care. We like Oscar.
Yeah, they're not going to trash shame him. That's not going to happen.
Honestly, Monty, kind of disappointed you didn't draft Tweedlebugs like with each pick, but...
Well, sorry. I'll try to get weird later. For the moment, I just want to say that Oscar is hilarious every time, and everyone talks about how Carol Spinney imbued Big Bird with the spirit of innocent childhood, and that's great, but he also imbued Oscar the Grouch with the spirit of snarling dislike for all of that crap.
Yep. It's how you can tell that Sesame Street is set in New York.
Yeah,
because of Oscar.
He lives in a trash can.
Yep.
Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, I used to have in college on my Mac, I had the little extension that if you empty the trash, yes! Oscar appeared and sang, "Oh, I love trash."
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good extension. I miss it.
Oscar the Grouch. All right, that's a great pick. And there we go. We pivoted through Kermit, who spans the shows, and now we have a Sesame Street pick off the board as well. That's one of the great things about the Muppets. Quinn, it's your choice.
My first pick goes out to my Bear Left, Right Frog co-host, Steven, who couldn't be here tonight because of internet problems. But I'm going to pick Gonzo.
Yay!
He's a favorite of both of ours, as we talk about on the show. But he's so weird, which is why I love him so much. He's not any, like, easily definable thing. He self-describes his species as a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's
described at one point as kind of like a turkey, but not really.
Yeah. But not really.
Guys, he's canonically an alien now.
Yeah.
No, that's not canonical.
Muppets from Space is...
Muppets from Space is not canon.
He's obsessed with chickens. He specifically, his girlfriend is a chicken, but also seems to be very interested in all birds. He's fascinated by them, which I find so funny. And then, over the course of several of different Muppet movies, they set up that he's like really into space and flying and he feels drawn to the sky. And then eventually they make Muppets in Space and announce that he is an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just so odd. And that's why I love him so much.
In It's a Very Merry Muppet Christmas Movie, which is very good, by the way.
I love it.
We see an It's a Wonderful Lifestyle world without Kermit, where like Scooter is a go-go dancer in a cage.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course he is.
Yeah.
Everyone is miserable but Gonzo, who is still an artist. He's poor, but he's still out doing the same abstract performance art stuff he would have done anyway. I love him.
I have a Gonzo-related question, though. Do you see a difference between tuxedo wearing Gonzo and sweater wearing Gonzo? Because in the 90s he started wearing sweaters, and I feel it signaled a shift in the character, perhaps not a welcome one.
That really makes you think.
Oh, got to journalism.
You know what I love about Gonzo is the same thing that I love about Oscar, like as a character. Like, he's a weirdo. And he's very like upfront about it and just sort of wears his weird on his sleeve, and everybody loves him.
Yep.
Like everybody who loves him for it, and everybody who doesn't like him, it's not because he's weird. They have a bunch of other reasons, whatever those are, Piggy. And so like it's always he's another one that is very much just sort of like radically accepted by everybody. And I love that it's not a big deal that everybody likes him even though he's weird. So that's always the thing that I've enjoyed about Gonzo.
My 2-year-old son is fixated on Gonzo, the adult Gonzo and the Muppet Babies version of Gonzo. He has two little figures of them that he has to take everywhere he goes. Where is Gonzo is the bone-chilling question in our house. Ooh. Because somewhere in a not very large house, there is an additional Muppet Babies Gonzo figurine that has gotten lost, and we have never been able to find it. It's in that Richard Matheson Little Girl Lost dimension. But yep. I don't know why when we ask Timmy why he loves Gonzo so much, he likes to talk about how Gonzo has a pocket on the front of his little overalls, the kid Gonzo version. But but for whatever reason, you know, if you hadn't picked Gonzo, I would have had to because, you know, my 2-year-old loves him.
I love that so much better than the Elmo-obsessed children I've known in my life.
Mm.
Elmo is the devil.
Elmo's still on the board for some reason.
Anybody who wants the devil.
Scratching out Elmo from my list now. Thanks, guys.
Ooh, Nathan.
Yeah, Elmo's gone. Walter's gone.
You have had Gonzo picked out from under you, but you can have a pick now.
But Nathan, you can pick Elmo.
Oh, God, no.
Reject
no. No, there are certain times when you're listening to an Elmo song that you can actually hear the malice, the underlying malice in the voice of his
Muppet. Don't say his name. Don't say his name or he'll appear.
No, I'm not. No, so I'm a little brother, and my big brother is my best friend. When we were growing up, we were two very different people. I was kind of short and round. He was tall and skinny. I was a goofball and he was more serious. We shared a bedroom and we had beds side by side. And when I turned on Sesame Street, I know there are all kinds of stories and interpretations about them, but when I turned on Sesame Street, I saw two characters who I thought were brothers, like me and my brother, Bert and Ernie. And so I'm picking Ernie. I was the Ernie to my brother's Bert, although my brother was nowhere near as serious or boring as Bert. And he's just, he's always meant a lot to me because, you know, like me, he could be really, really silly and goofy and not always very considerate, but he had this endlessly patient, if often exasperated, always forgiving big brother, at least as I interpreted it, there to love him unconditionally and to be his friend. And Ernie is my pick.
It's a great pick. I also had one of Bert and Ernie on my list, and I still do. But
for now.
Those guys are a classic well. Combo. It's great.
Obviously, it's Bernice the Pigeon that's still on your list.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Cool pattern. Phil, your choice.
Well, all of these picks have been very nice so far, and yet not very nice, because when you're assembling an army of Muppets, when you're assembling Muppet performers, you need someone who's versatile, who can be the leading man, who can be the comedy man, who can do straight man, who can bring pathos. And I submit that Cookie Monster embodies all of those things. Now, maybe if you're my age, you remember Cookie Monster is just this agent of chaos who wanders around trying to eat everyone's cookies and making everyone exasperated. But no, Cookie Monster has evolved through the years, where now he can star in movie parodies and be upset that his obsession with cookies pushes people away. No. Cookie Monster is the greatest Muppet. Really the only Muppet I need. I may just pass every other pick of the draft. I won't do that. Cookie Monster's great.
Phil, you make me so angry. Cookie Monster.
That's
Cookie
the
Monster
nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Was at the top of my
that
list.
That is my only goal in life. But here's to hear those beautiful words.
You said, Phil, you said Cookie Monster is the greatest Muppet. And I don't think that goes far enough.
No.
I consider Cookie Monster one of the greatest fictional characters ever created for many of the same reasons. And I'm serious here. I'm serious. Cookie Monster is a fully realized character. He has tragic flaws. He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. He you do get the sense that he's trying his best, but he also is aware of his flaws. He's versatile. And all the things you said are absolutely true. I think everything Cookie Monster touches turns to gold, which is a shame because he really would rather they turn
really
to cookies.
He really would rather turn into a cookie. They did that in one episode. But I beg you to go look up this sketch on YouTube where Kermit is trying to show people emotions. And so he screams at Cookie Monster. He says, "You're a terrible monster, and I'm going to tell your mommy." And when he says, "I'm going to tell your mommy," you can see Cookie Monster's heartbreak. He is the singing clown in the opera that, "Oh, doctor, I am
Cookie Monster."
Yes, me am Cookie Monster, doctor. That's great.
And I mean, as a child, the fact that they would do Monsterpiece Theater hosted by Alistair Cookie,
yes, Yes.
You know, and I mean, we watched Masterpiece Theater in the house. I mean, it was just a thing. And so it's like the first time I saw him introduced as Alistair Cookie, I thought that was hilarious at the age of six. That was just brilliant. And the fact that here's a PBS show making fun of another PBS show. That was amazing to me.
Me know Jason put down the rules, but Alistair Cookie seemed pretty legally distinct to me.
We all know that's just a part played by the great Cookie Monster.
There's
you know, Jason, you did first pick Cookie Monster in episode 325.
I did.
The Monster Mash.
I did.
You already got him.
I did get him because he's the greatest fictional character. Okay.
It could, in fact, be that everyone calls him Cookie Monster, but Alistair is his real first name.
It's entirely possible.
It's possible.
If your name was Alistair, you might become a Cookie Monster.
Absolutely.
Well, see? I have to say,
this headcanon make me hungry.
In terms of incomparable drafts, you are all doing a really good job because you're picking great Muppets, and I'm very sad because I have to pick last. David, it's your choice.
Hold on. I just need to point out really quick, there's a Vanity Fair video of a bunch of Muppets doing impressions of other Muppets. And it is Cookie Monster is one among them.
Will blow you away in that video.
And it is the best thing. And like, especially for in particular, I know Jason and I, like, on top of everything else, our states are burning down. And so go take 10 minutes. I think it's like a 10 minute video. Go take 10 minutes and watch a bunch of Muppets do impressions of other Muppets. And it will soothe your soul.
That video is my most popular Tumblr post. I have 25,000 notes on it.
And then search Cookie Monster and John Oliver, because the two of them do a news report. It's hilarious because John Oliver keeps breaking up and Cookie never breaks once.
No.
Not
professional.
Once.
It's called professionalism, people. Cookie Monster has it.
Yeah.
David, it's your choice. Go ahead.
I'm impressed this guy is still on the board because of the Muppets.
David.
Yeah, you know it's coming.
No.
You know it's coming.
It's the Muppet Newsman, isn't it?
Yeah. Damn it. No, it's, you know, there are so many Muppets I identify with, and I always grew up thinking, oh, well, I'm more like this. But, you know, they're like all good groups of characters. You can see yourself in a lot of them, or most of them, you know. But a lot of people have said, this is the Muppet I remind them of most, which makes a lot of sense.
Link Hargthrob.
Well, that was only my wife. Yeah. But, no, most people think Fozzie Bear is who is the most like me, because he's perfectly happy telling a terrible joke and he gets right up and tells another terrible joke right on top of it. He just keeps going. Nothing really gets him down too long. And when he does get down, who makes him feel better? Kermit.
Yep.
He's also pathos, but he's pathos with terrible, terrible puns.
So here, my wife and I had a conversation about Fozzie before this, because she said, you should pick Fozzie because Fozzie is great. And I said, what is it about Fozzie that makes him so polarizing? And I think it's that some later Fozzie characterizations have not been as good as the early Fozzie, because I think at his core, the idea behind Fozzie, and I think it's actually a little bit of a sophisticated take, is Fozzie is a naturally funny character. When he feels he needs to be funny, he is gloriously unfunny. The idea there is that he's a very funny character, but when he tries to be a comedian, which is sadly his chosen profession, he's very bad at it. And I love that. I love that contradiction that he's actually hilarious except when he's trying to be funny, because that's a real thing.
Jason, it sounds like you're telling me that Muppets teach people lessons.
Mm.
Well, and I will say, just as a sidebar, thinking of Bert and Ernie, of thinking of Kermit and Cookie Monster in that one sketch, and thinking of Kermit and Fozzie, and, you know, all these great pairings, it's Jim Henson and Frank Oz.
Well, there
you
go.
Creating fully dimensional characters. And everyone after that is doing voices and doing shtick.
I would add to that, once Frank Oz was not doing the character anymore, Fozzie became kind of a gaping hole of need, which is okay, but not the same. No.
And last year we were lucky enough, my oldest son and I went and saw Frank Oz giving a talk down near Louisville, and he was quite blunt about how the modern takes on the Muppets are not bothering with character in the same way. Mm-mm. It was really fascinating. And he's absolutely right. I mean,
all right,
you notice.
No polemics.
We're not. Yeah, this is not a discussion about the current the value of current versus past Muppets. But I will.
But
I will
beauty
say that
of
the core
of
Fozzie is that
core combination. Yeah.
Yep. Moises, it's your choice.
Well, David mentions something of a dyad. I think there's really more of a triptych when it comes to classic Muppet performers, and half of this particular performer's greatest trademark characters has already been picked.
It's Wayne and Wanda, isn't it?
I was gonna go niche. I was gonna go weird, but nobody else picked Big Bird, so I'm picking Big Bird.
You're killing me, Moises.
Because Big Bird is just one of those beautiful, pure of heart, Muppet characters that has stood the test of time. To the point that politicians assail this Muppet when they want to go after public broadcasting. I don't know how much I could really say about Big Bird that would in any way be better than people just thinking about subjectively their experience watching Big Bird, caring about Big Bird, and feeling cared for by Big Bird, who had the heart of a child, but was able to take care of all of us in some way or another at some point in our lives. That's it. Nothing, yep. Nothing cynical, nothing sarcastic. Big Bird is
for 50 years. Children have been, raised in part by the gentleness of Big Bird. What
Big Bird
say?
Was my mother's favorite on Sesame Street. And as a child, she collected all these Big Birds just for her. They were just in her room. Mm. And I could play with them, but, you know, they were clearly...
And it's the singing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the songs... Like, I remember when I was very, very small, I had a record. I actually might still have this record. And it's called Sesame Street Sings. And most of the songs on it that I sang along with were the Big Bird songs. So, like, Abkadefki, Jekyllmanop for Stewixes. And, you know, I think he starts the People in Your Neighborhood. So... all that kind of stuff, like that kind of all came from Big Bird. And there's like points where people are teaching him signs and stuff when he and that's what I watched when I was very young, was like basically just Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers, which may explain a lot about Kelly when you think about it. And so like I would go point out signs later, like, my mom would take me to the store and I would, you know, and she told me like I would point at everything and tell her what it said, you know, in, out, do not enter. Like I knew what all of them were. And it was because somebody at some point was teaching them to Big Bird on Sesame Street.
I still remember when Big Bird went to China.
Yeah.
Yes.
He got
so
TV
good.
Specials. He got his own movie. There's a great documentary about Carol Spinney as Big Bird.
Yes.
He also had the most heartbreaking moment in all of Sesame Street and arguably television.
Yeah. In all of,
I was going to say.
When Mr. Hooper died, right? Or are you?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, no. When he learned what near meant. Oh, so heartbreaking.
I was older enough to be past Sesame Street at that point. And I understood what had happened. And I still watched it. And it still hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the fact of the actors passing away. It was simply Big Bird coming to terms with that. Oh, yeah. It was just beautiful.
I still can't watch it. I mean, I can, but like the end
is
blurry every time I try and watch it.
I watched the whole episode to pitch it for a different podcast. It is such a well-constructed episode.
It's so,
and then,
yes.
Oh my God. You see the actual people dealing with the death
because
of
they
their
are too.
Coworker. Oh, it's so good.
It's, yeah. I thought actually when you said biggest moments that maybe it was going to be... at Jim Henson's funeral, when he sang "It's Not Easy Being Green,"
well, that's
and at
so
the end
good.
Looks up and says, "Like we miss you, Jim." I think is what he says. Again, the end of that is blurry every time I try to watch it. So I'm not entirely
Carol Spinney
sure what he
can
says.
Do all that while in this incredibly heavy bird suit.
Yeah,
he can't
with
see
with one
anything.
Arm up in the head and one wing.
So good.
You know,
and those eyes staring out at us are staring out at us from over his right hand.
Yeah,
and not from an actual person's head in that, but it always read and always worked.
Yeah.
All right, Big Bird, lots of acclaim for that. Thank you, Moises.
You're welcome, Jason. Now it's your turn.
It's my turn, and many of my choices are gone, but you know, one of my favorites is still on the board. He's kind of like the Sesame Street equivalent of Gonzo. And since I have declared that aliases are not separate picks, that means I get both Super Grover and Grover, the original, the Sesame Street weirdo, to go with the Muppet Show's weirdo of Gonzo. I love these weird characters. Grover, what can you say about him? He's got the arms that are all floppy, and he sometimes is different characters like a superhero, but he's always that same old goofy Muppet with a great voice that is intriguingly similar to Yoda. I would say Yoda is sort of Jedi Grover, but not a Muppet. So
it's as if Yoda and the Lord Chamberlain Skeksis had a beautiful baby.
Interesting.
Named him Grover.
Interesting and canonically questionable.
And and Super Yoda.
Yes.
Now I'm imagining Grover with a lightsaber, and it just does not end well.
Super Yoda. Oh my goodness.
Super Yoda is literally Yoda is the Super Yoda of the the Grover Super Grover and then Yoda. That's how it goes.
The best Grover is Waiter Grover, though.
I was just going to say that.
I don't think he's a very good waiter.
No, he's
not. I would
not.
Stop going to that restaurant.
If he's
that
a terrible waiter. He's an even worse door-to-door salesman, but a bad waiter.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, I love Grover so much.
What I love about Grover is that, like, he's another like facet of kids, right? Like, he gets really anxious about something because, like, it might go bad. And then he gets to the end, you know, and the monster at the end of the book is just Grover, right? And, like, I remember applying that as a kid. Like, this could be bad. Well, you know, it's always okay for Grover. Maybe it'll be okay for me, too.
Can we talk for a moment just about the brilliance of, because you mentioned the monster at the end of this book, the brilliance of the idea of taking a cross-section of furry puppets from Sesame Street and saying that they were monsters, thereby immediately defusing the fear of monsters for millions of children across decades. What a great idea.
The two things, you know, between that and Scooby-Doo always unmasking the ghosts and monsters. I never had that fear of ghosts and monsters. And that's what they were designed to do. And I loved how they did that.
Are you afraid of old caretakers?
Yes.
I am trying
bankers,
to imagine
farmers, old caretakers, minor 49ers.
And the Harlem Globetrotters also.
And the that's because of the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine that classic scene where the electricity fills the body and Dr. Frankenstein steps back and up sits Grover saying, "Oh, I'm alive!" Right? Well, that would be a spin on Frankenstein's monster. It's not that bad. Really not that bad. I'm sure they've done that bit on Sesame Street, actually. 100% sure they've done that bit. Time to take a break and tell you about our sponsor. This episode of The Incomparable is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Breaking up with your old wireless provider just got a whole lot easier thanks to Mint Mobile. They were the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, and now Mint Mobile is introducing their unlimited data plan for just $30 a month. That's right, unlimited for $30. How much is your soon-to-be ex wireless provider charging you? I bet it's more than that. I set up a phone with Mint Mobile. Couldn't have been easier. Little SIM card, any size you want it to be, depending on whatever size of card that your phone takes, pop it in there, use their app or their website, put in a little code that's on the card, and that's it. I'm set, taken care of. I got it. For people who hate their phone bill and are ready for something new, Mint Mobile offers their premium unlimited plan for just $30 a month. They do this by going online only, eliminating the traditional costs of retail and passing those savings onto you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered. They've got a 7-day money-back guarantee on top of all the rest of these things. Break up with big wireless. Switch to Mint Mobile's premium unlimited data plan, $30 a month. To get your new unlimited wireless plan for just $30 a month and get it shipped to your door for free. You don't have to talk to people. You don't have to go somewhere. Huh. Go to mintmobile.com/snell. That's mintmobile.com/snell, my last name. Cut your unlimited wireless bill to $30 a month at mintmobile.com/snell. Thank you, Mint Mobile, for supporting The Incomparable. All right, that's one round in the books. Wow. Maybe this will go faster or maybe it won't, but we're good for a couple more rounds. Shelley, back around to you to pick a Muppet.
So many Muppets are part of ensembles in the larger Muppet panoply, and mine is one of these. She has her own character. Notice it is a female Muppet, a somewhat rare occurrence. My pick is Janice of the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I love Janice.
I loved
the Muppet Show in general. I loved the Electric Mayhem, and I loved that they made this silly music and that Janice was the lead guitarist. She went on to, of course, co-star in Veterinarian's Hospital and had other roles, but I will always think of her as the guitarist from the Electric Mayhem.
Ooh, so, Dr. Bob.
So as a kid growing up in the 70s, let me tell you that some of the parents of my friends were hippies who had just, you know, eventually had kids. And when I saw Janice, I was like, oh, yeah. Got it. Got
Janice
it.
Is also the has my wife's favorite running gag through all the Muppet movies, because there's always a segment in each of the three Muppet movies where the Muppets are arguing and everyone's talking at once, and then they suddenly stop talking and Janice keeps talking and she's saying something horribly inappropriate. And
it's nudity, if I remember. It's usually
it's my body and I'll do what I want, man. And then all the Muppets stare at her. It is the greatest runner in the history of cinema, quite frankly, because it stretches for three movies.
And I have always loved that Janice is the lead guitarist of the band.
Yes.
You would think Floyd would be the lead guitarist because he's the guy. Nah, Floyd's on bass, Janice is lead guitar. Cool choice.
Also, Quinn, just please note, Phil referred to the three Muppet movies. Interesting.
Team Phil. Team Phil.
There are post-Jim Henson movies that are way better than Muppets Take Manhattan, Fight Me.
I didn't say that was one of the three.
That's not a point that we're arguing, but... No.
Next time on Muppet Debate Club with Jason
Snell.
And
I'm sure they're full of semi-interesting Muppets as well.
Muppet Debate Club. Interesting idea. Kelly, it's your choice.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm going to go with one that I liked for very different reasons as a kid than now. When I was a kid, I liked him very much. Because we were not allowed to have a dog. And so this was a way that I could sort of have one, was to get to, like, hang out with specifically Rolf.
Yep.
And he's so understatedly funny in some moments. And that's what I love about him. A lot of the UK sketches from The Muppet Show are just him playing a song.
Yeah.
And
doing his pianist patter, right?
Just but it's also...
That's so great. Like lounge piano patter. Yeah.
Yes.
So good at that.
And he's
your bartender. He's your lounge pianist.
He's confidant. He's your entertainer.
He was the first breakout Muppet. He was the one who was
on the Jimmy Dean show.
Had a spot in the public consciousness.
Hi, I'm Ralph the Dog, and I'm here for Purina Dog Chow.
Yeah. Back
this episode of The Incomparable brought to you by Purina. Whether they're paying for it or not.
Back when Kermit was just selling coffee and was a sock with some ping pong balls on it, Rolf was a fully realized character. Yeah. No, that's a great thing.
And he has these little moments, like in the Muppet movie, he has these moments that are very small. And like, I think of one of the UK sketches was You and I and George, which is so funny. And part of why it's funny is because at the beginning, you know, he says it's You and I and George, like, or only two people bought copies of this. You know, I bought one. George bought one. Where were you? And for some reason, that's hilarious to me every time. And I love him. And I love how he is very much calm in the face of chaos. Like Kermit's always trying to mitigate.
Yep.
And it's like Rolf is just surfing. Mm-hmm. Whatever wave of chaos is happening, that's where Rolf is at. And I love that about him, and I love, like, we were talking before the show about how Titwillow is on the Muppet Show album, and him and Sam doing that song together is so funny to me. What's obdurate? I don't know, Sam. And I don't know why that's hilarious, but it's so fun, and it's just the way he says, you know, are we really going to do this? Yes. Titwillow. And it's so, so, so good. I just love him.
And he's so versatile, too, because he's a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
You would think, with all the bad puns in Veterinarian's Hospital, it would be Fozzie as the main actor. But no.
But no.
Ralph is Dr. Bob, a quack who's gone to the dogs.
Dr. Bob.
Just as chaotic and silly as anyone, but he's acting.
Well, there's also Dog City, which is a film noir spoof from the Jim Henson Hour. In which Ralph is basically the star, and it's nothing but dumb puns, and I love it dearly.
Of course. Yeah, it's fantastic.
All right. Ralph the dog, great choice. Off the board. Now we're getting into the slightly deeper cuts, which is fun. Monty, it's your choice now.
All right. I still have so much of my list left, and I feel an urge to get weird, but I'm going to go with Uncle Deadly.
Yep.
Ah. Oh,
that's weird.
Nice.
That's still fairly weird.
I mean,
Uncle Deadly goes back to the original Muppet Show. His first episode was when he was Vincent Price's creepy doorman.
And then
there was a long stretch of people saying,
on every New Year's Eve, the master turns into Guy Lombardo.
Marty! Yes, he's so good. That episode's in the Muppet Show book. I love it.
Yeah.
It's so
good.
It sure
is. I have that right over there. But
me too. It's right there.
He is now the best part of two new Muppet TV shows. One that's going on now and the one that went on a few years ago. In both of those.
Arguably one of the only good parts.
Sadly. I'm keeping it positive. Mm-hmm. He has been recast to be Miss Piggy's kind of amanuensis, and he's so much fun in that. And I'm really glad to see a character that once was defined just as a cool look and a weird voice really coming into his own and being developed. Uncle Deadly. Love that dude.
I do too.
Yeah, that is a Muppet. We you know, are trying to not touch the third rail of debating the arc of the Muppets as characters and it's their owners and intellectual property and all of that, but undoubtedly one of the Muppets who keeps kind of going upward in terms of development is Uncle Deadly. And yes, Uncle Deadly is great on the Muppets Now, which is what Monty is referring to on Disney Plus, Muppets Now. Uncle Deadly is a great counterpart to Piggy in that. It's great. Quinn, your choice.
Well, since we already talked about Janice, I'm going to bring in another member of the Electric Mayhem, Animal.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Animal.
Second round.
Yes. Thank
Crossing
you. Thank
him
you
off
all.
My list. Okay.
I'm really pleased I got Animal. He is another one of my all-time favorite Muppets. I think he has one of the best puppet designs of any of them. I just love how wild he looks.
Yes.
He also has a giant chain around his neck because, as you might imagine, even though all of them are animals, he's the only one that is necessarily defined by this because he's a lot, closer to the natural world than our other civilized
Muppets are. No kink shame.
I adore him. I think he should be let free to wreak whatever mayhem he wants to. Free Animal. But he's also the drummer of the Electric Mayhem, which presumably a job he got because he likes to smash things, and that creates beautiful music in the case of the Electric Mayhem. So,
Beat drum!
All right, Animal. Great. Love
great.
Animal.
Great. Good pick.
Nathan, it's your choice.
All right, so this choice, I'm shocked, has not been drafted sooner. It wasn't even on my original list, but I figured she deserved her due. And honestly, if she were around and had heard that we had waited this long to draft her, there would be karate chops left and right. I'm talking about Miss Piggy, and you got to be careful around Miss Piggy when you mention the word chops. She tends to take offense. But no, I love Miss Piggy. I think it's Frank Oz, I believe, is one of the great comedic performers of the 20th century. An extraordinary and underrated comedian. And Miss Piggy might be his finest creation. She is such an interesting and layered and funny character because she is a diva. She's larger than life. She's the troublesome star. But it's all built on her own insecurity. Deep down, she is still that girl from the sticks who I think Frank Oz had as her backstory that she grew up over a butcher shop, which would provide anyone with an incentive to get into show business as quickly as possible. She's can be a terrible person, but Kermit brings out the best in her. Kermit is like the person who makes her want to be the best version of herself and brings out all of her better qualities. She's strong. She's resilient. She takes no guff. She stands up for herself. And I love Miss Piggy. I think she's great. She's my pick for round two.
Can I suggest that her relentless sexual harassment of her boss to the point of repeatedly trying to trick him into marrying her isn't necessarily her best self, though?
No.
True, but he can... That is true. I'll grant you that. But he also brings out her kindness, her generosity, her, you know, love of community, and her willingness to not be a jerk to everyone all the time.
Because he does kind of judo flip that, like... For me, would you, you know, kind of do this thing that would save everybody? Like, he does sort of use that to his advantage sometimes, I've noticed.
So. Sometimes, but not nearly as many times as she karate kicks him into the
That's
next
absolutely
scene.
True, that's, yes.
That's true, but he gives her the space and permission to be person she is inside rather than the person she feels like she has to be to the outside world. Plus, the scene in the Muppet movie where she completely destroys a room full of tough guys.
I do love that.
And yeah, then, that's the Miss Piggy I love.
Puts back
None
on
of this
her.
Best life stuff for me.
puts and, back and, on her glamorous, you know, attitude. Then gets a phone call. Oh, excuse me, just one tiny moment, would you, Kermie? Picks up the phone. Yeah, Morty, what do you got? Oh, yep. That kills me every time.
I would argue not even her best scene in the Muppet movie. The best scene is the Never Before. That song, which was originally not going to be sung by Miss Piggy. It was going to be sung by a lady singer. And then they had Frank Oz sing it. And they said, nope, that's print that.
It's Piggy's
that
now.
Is gold.
Frank Oz can sing in that voice really well.
Yeah,
so
he can.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Nathan, great pick. Who doesn't love Miss Piggy? By the way, the answer is, I don't love Miss Piggy.
I don't like
Miss I think Piggy. She's awful, and I think that she's gotten worse over time, because as
oh,
with Fozzie
has.
Bear, I think yes. that they've decided to take a character who was a problematic character who was interesting because she caused trouble for other people, and then uh-huh. tried to round a character out around her, and it doesn't work for me. I think she's just kind of terrible, and in most of the... Again, this may be a criticism yeah. of later movies and later TV shows, but I find her insufferable beyond the more two-dimensional character she is in The Muppet Show and maybe the first Muppet movie or two.
Well, Jason, you know what she would say to that?
They've centered those productions on her. They've made her a main character. She'd be a lot less insufferable if she had less screen time.
Yeah, that's well, like right. Fozzie, I think it's exactly that, which is that they have a way that they work, and then they're like, but what if there is more? And it's like, no, I don't want
hey,
more.
You know, we could use more female Muppets. What if we just gave Piggy more to do?
Yeah, all of
but,
the
but
other
wait,
things
no,
to
that,
do.
That doesn't do anything to fix the other...
No.
They've made her a mean-spirited idiot, but then they added another girl pig Muppet, Denise, who was somehow even worse.
This is Piggy Sue Erasure, is what this is.
I feel like Miss Piggy is far more popular than she should be, but I feel like I'm alone in that, so I guess.
No.
I think Miss Piggy gets a bad rap, and it's not her fault.
Solidarity.
I bet in the 80s she had a bad rap album.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair.
Miss Piggy's bad rap album. That's...
I think I have it on cassette.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I think the same. Jesus. Like, she, when we got her in sort of dribs and drabs, she was fine because she was chaos.
Yeah.
And that was it. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter that she was kind of problematic. So then they decided, like, well, if we need more female Muppets, like, instead of having more characters, we'll just take this one and do more with
Piggy
her. But
do more.
But they lost sight of the fact that like she's powered by insecurity, and it seems like now she's just powered by getting to be mean to people.
If I have a criticism,
and I feel like that's different.
It's not even a criticism of the Muppet Show, but a lot of characters in the Muppet Show evolved to be foils for Kermit in different ways, right? Like Fozzie is a management problem for Kermit. Miss Piggy is a management. Like, many Muppets are management problems for Kermit, because that's what the show is. And then you get to the movies and the later TV shows and things, and it's like, we got to do something else with this character. And that's when it is sort of exposed that, no, you really... don't, because that's not why they exist. And sometimes they get rounded out into something that's more interesting or weird, in the case of Gonzo.
Uncle Deadly.
But I think Piggy and Fozzie both suffer for being kind of forced to be more than Kermit's foil.
Yes.
Yeah, so much of the Muppet Show specifically is excuses for Jim Henson and Frank Oz to do two-person scenes. Silly. Whether it's Bert and Ernie or Kermit and Fozzie or Kermit and Piggy. And
that's
if
true,
it's not Jim and Frank doing it and they're doing other stuff, well, it's going to look weird.
And the chemistry is different. Yeah. And not everyone has chemistry and not everyone can ad-lib. That's one of the most amazing things. Go on YouTube and find the Muppet Movie ad-lib scenes and things that they were doing just in between.
Well, or
shots.
When they were testing out, making sure that they could film a movie with puppets out in the world.
And I'm not gonna blame the performers entirely, because I think the thing is that you have these performers who also created the characters, and later you have performers who are performing what is written for them, and that's what lets it down. Is that what's written for them is kind of maybe asking those characters to do more than they should, but that's sort of where we are. Shelley, you were gonna say something.
I was just going to say, even in the Muppet Show, when those two-person scenes were such a big part of it, they were broken up by the guest stars and by the ensemble, the music, and the dancing numbers. And since it was only a half-hour show, those rarely felt like they were too long. And as
overdone.
You say, because they were the original guys doing it and they were the best at it, it worked. And I'm not a fan of Fozzie or Miss Piggy, and there was a lot of Fozzie and Miss Piggy in the Muppet Show, but there was enough other stuff that I found it endlessly entertaining,
right,
nonetheless.
They're always frustrating Kermit or other people who are also frustrating Kermit, and that's a great dynamic, right? Just make Kermit more, do that thing with his lips, right? Like, you make him more and more frustrated, and it's magic. All right, Miss Piggy's on the board. Nathan, thank you for your pick. I don't have to agree with it because it's your pick and it belongs to you, so well done. And we'll move on to Phil.
Wow. This is why you really empathize with
Kermit. Throw shade!
No, as the host, I should just accept it. It's like, but I need to say I hate Miss Piggy. But the thing is, I think that more people agree with Nathan than agree with me. So I praise Nathan for making his choice. He believes in it. And I believe in Nathan. How about that? That's a real Ted Lasso moment.
However
we just
wrong
had.
You may believe
Nathan
him
great.
To be. Yes.
Phil, it's your choice.
Jason, Miss Piggy is awful and made of awful. So let's move on. I've already picked the greatest Muppet, Cookie Monster, to be the centerpiece of my Muppet Show Reborn. I need a band leader. Someone took Rolf. So now I'm going to take the second greatest band leader. My favorite Muppet when I was but a boy, Dr. Teeth.
Nigel?
Yay,
not
Teeth.
Nigel. No, Nigel. No,
no. Not Nigel.
Because the thing with Dr. Teeth, I forget which who we said was the great animal. Animal is the greatest constructed Muppet. No. Dr. Teeth has a body of an egg. He has these arms that stretch out like Plastic Man, and he has eye shades so he can turn to the camera and blink his eyes and register surprise, and he's really just a poor Dr. John ripoff, and he's great. No, if you every host needs a band leader, and Dr. Teeth is the greatest of all band leaders. So
I thought you were going to pick Marvin Suggs with that lead up.
Well, Marvin later, depending on how this draft goes, baby, we... Thank you, Anna, thank you!
Yep, later in life, I watched the Muppet Movie, knowing a little bit more about the music of that period, and not only is the Dr. John reference there, but Leon Russell, I also like, see in there, that's like, oh, I see what you're doing, I see the characters you're riffing off of here.
Also, Dr. Hook. You watch a Dr. Hook in the Medicine Show video, it's just the Electric Mayhem.
It's all rolled in there. Amazing. Amazing character. Mm. Love it. The Electric Mayhem.
He's so odd. Like, that was the thing I always loved about him, was he was, it's very Boba Fett. Like, you don't know anything about him except basically what he looks like. Because he doesn't ever talk about, you know, when I was a kid or whatever. And it's
his
just,
hopes and dreams, no. He leaves it outside. It's all
we
about
know
the music, man.
It's all about the music.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And in the Muppet Movie, he got to do the gag about how they read the script. Great gag.
Yep.
Yes.
Very good gag.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Teeth. So Phil's got Cookie Monster and Dr. Teeth. So, you know, we might as well continue with the draft, but it's looking bad for the rest
of
us. David, it's your choice.
I'm going to pick someone who has a strange versatility. It's kind of inexplicable in a way. He has his own theme song. He has his own segment.
I want to guess this so bad.
He had his own cereal. which that's crazy. But yeah, you know, you would hear the familiar strains of Yorn Dish Born Dairy Diggy Diggoo Erm Dish D Born Dish D Bork 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 Bork. The Swedish Chef.
Yes.
You know, you had Jim Henson working the mouth and doing the voice, and you had Frank Oz's hands, and they were actually hands. And I remember that was really creepy when I was five.
It's so weird.
Because I was like, wait a second, those are actually hands. And, you know, and again, making fun of a PBS show because it's the French Chef. And that's a reference that nobody understands now when they see the Swedish Chef. He's just the Swedish Chef. And somewhere in the 90s, I forget exactly when, they licensed a cereal featuring the Swedish Chef called Crunchy Stars, mm-hmm. K-R-O-O-N-C-H-Y, with, you know, umlauts and slashes. It's the best damn cinnamon cereal I've ever eaten. That was amazing. Can't get it anymore. They stopped making it. But, you know, what other Muppet had their own cereal all by themselves? That's crazy.
On Muppets Now, they do a YouTube cooking show bit with the Swedish Chef. That's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I like the idea of taking the Swedish Chef and putting him and his human hands in a disastrous YouTube cooking segment. I think it's pretty good.
You know, and it still works because you've got Food Network and Top Chef and mm-hmm. all this cooking stuff out there. It's a perfect setup for him. That's one of the things that can survive. I mean, one of my favorite things post gym was Muppets Tonight, which was able to make fun. It was basically the same concept as the Muppet Show.
It's the Muppet Show, except it's on TV.
It's TV,
yeah,
and they're doing TV spoofs, and it was pretty good. That's probably my favorite post gym.
Heartbreaking
project.
That is not readily available on streaming because Muppets Tonight was very good.
So good.
I mean, just the Garth just
Brooks
the episode,
Garth Brooks.
The episode with Prince from his days on. It's
Seriously.
Not Hee-Haw, but it's what was it? Muppet something hoo ha, something like that. Yep.
It's him and Gonzo, right? Out in the cornfield telling dad jokes.
Yeah, yep.
That's great.
David Laura Raves. It's not terrible.
No, it's great.
No, Muppets Tonight was really good.
Muppets Tonight was good.
Another thing that's on YouTube that has been floating around that my daughter enjoys, they have Swedish Chef cook off against Gordon Ramsay, who really is just a Muppet who has escaped from the Henson people.
I mean, how many times on MasterChef has he wandered around going, "Too burnt! Too burnt!" You know.
You donkey! Yeah, his famous catchphrase. Yeah.
He does call people Muppets sometimes.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's to get them off the scent.
Nice.
He hates himself.
Projections.
Was it Gene Stapleton that had a bit with Swedish Chef where it turned out that she could actually speak his language because it wasn't Swedish, it's mock Swedish?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Like, yeah, I have that one. It's one of the ones that Disney has actually released. That's a whole thing for a whole nother podcast. But I have that one, and I always enjoy watching her sit and talk to him. And I remember as a kid starting to pick up on, like, he's actually sort of saying words. So, you know, he makes cakes and throws them in the air and shoots at them, and now they're donuts. And he would hold them up and go, "Der cake, de boom, boom." And I'm like, "Oh, I know what that is." Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not just saying nonsense. It's really amazing.
That's why I love that. That was what I love. And then every once in a while, his bit would just be weird. You know, Lobster Banditos is one of my all-time favorite Muppet sketches, just of all of them, because they just rise up and revolt. And it's so funny. And to watch him be in the middle of it and sort of be flummoxed by Lobster Banditos is the funny. And I do, it's one of those things that as an adult now, I look at that and I go, I have no idea how they got it on the air. I'm so glad they did, but I don't know how they managed to pull that off.
Muppets are about chaos, and Swedish Chef sketches are 100% chaos.
Absolutely chaos. I loved they always had a blunderbuss instead of just a rifle.
Yes. Right? Yes, this giant ridiculous gun. Der cake, de boom, boom. Yeah, so good.
All right, Moises, it's your choice.
Well, I had so many different directions that I considered possibly going, I was surprised that Big Bird was still available on the last round. One of the prominent history making Muppets in the history of all Muppetdom is a bilingual Muppet, and no, I'm not talking about Osvaldo El Gruñón, the Puerto Rican Oscar the Grouch, of course. I'm talking about the now really rather widely beloved Rosita la Monstrua de las Cuevas.
Rosita
the Monster from the Caves.
Oh, she's
who she originally had wings. She was supposed to be kind of fruit bat-ish, I guess. The wings have disappeared. They've fluffed up her like her hair on her costume and everything.
She's kind of been Elmo'd.
Yeah, she's been Elmo'd a bit, but not in a bad way at all. She made her debut when I was in elementary school in the early 90s. I'm sorry for mentioning my age. I'm Return of the Jedi years old. But Rosita, in the vast majority of English language kids programming in the U.S., there really was a dearth of anything other than a thickly stereotyped version of, look, this, I would draw an equivalence to when Star Trek would take ethnic stereotypes and make an alien race out of it. That would be the representation scene for people of different races and different extractions across kids TV. You know, here's this guy meant to represent this entire ethnicity of people. And Rosita was never that. She was just there and she just spoke Spanish and she blended it into the stuff that she was saying. And it was totally fine and totally normal. And I could tell which kids I probably did not get along with, because they would be the ones who would have something to say about how they didn't like having Spanish thrown in their faces and blah, 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 blah. And I went, okay, fine. I'm not going to throw myself in your face. I don't need to be friends with you. You're a jerk. Rosita ended up being something of a litmus test, where I also was able to get a read on which kids' parents were racists, because of the way that they would talk about stuff like Rosita. And so she is, I mean, I'm not Mexican, I'm Cuban, and Chinese Cuban at that. So we don't match exactly, but we share a diaspora, and having that representation, and normalizing it in the way that, you know, the human characters who were non-white people, the way that Sesame Street always treated them was fantastic. And it wasn't like I was like a super mega fan of Rosita as a kid, but it was something that I came back to reflecting later on as being something that, no, she was not, absolutely not one of my favorite Sesame Street Muppets or Muppets in general, but her presence was a lot more significant than I gave it credit for at the time.
Great choice.
I like her. Yeah. What I remember about her was when she came on the scene, it was like, oh, like not for me, but like now on Sesame Street, they all have friends. Like I have friends because I had a whole lot of friends who were Mexican and spoke Spanish. And so for me, it felt much more like Sesame Street was more closely matching my experience of other people knowing somebody who would say Spanish words here and there. And sometimes I would stop and ask them what they meant, just like on Sesame Street. And then when I knew, like, they would talk and I could keep up with them. And it was an interesting thing for me in the way that, like, oh, now they all have friends like I have friends. So.
Like, I remember when I was really little and Sesame Street was a little bit more diverse. It felt a little more funky compared to most children's TV. And then it got smoothed out by the end of the 70s and into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I fell away from it, I was like, oh, wow. Because you had your isolated shows, right? You had Sesame Street was one kind of neighborhood. Mr. Rogers had his neighborhood. And growing up in Florida, I was lucky we had a show called Via Alegre,
made it to California. That in
California,
dude.
Too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was nationwide. But we had it every day, and it was really good.
Via Alegre! Sorry.
But did the great space coaster reach to your part of the world?
Oh, it certainly yes.
Reached
it's
here.
Gary Ganu. What's Ganu's with you?
Gary Ganu!
Different puppets. Yes. Go away. Anyway. But then when my kids were little and they were watching Sesame Street and I, you know, and that's when I discovered Rosita, and it was sort of like, oh, wow, we're letting Sesame Street be a little more diverse again. Thank God. It's more like reality.
So being of a certain age, you know, there are Muppets and then there are new Muppets, and the new Muppets are the ones that were introduced after I stopped watching Sesame Street.
Like Elmo.
And so they have all these internet videos, as we've mentioned here, where there are Muppet bits, especially Sesame Street Muppet bits. And so I see those, and it's like my Muppets, and then there are the new Muppets. And that's how I met Rosita. And all I will say about Rosita is I watch these videos, and I look at Rosita, and I think, what the hell is Elmo's problem? Because like, she's a perfectly reasonable Muppet. Whereas among the other new Muppets is Elmo, less reasonable. No. Anyway.
So Jason, what you're saying is now it's your turn and Elmo's still on the board. Yes, so you get to pick Elmo.
All right. So Rosita's on the board. I'm not going to pick a new Muppet. I'm going to pick an old Muppet. And this was predicted.
The audience is shocked.
This was predicted in the first round. I'm going to say that there must be that what I look for in a Muppet and what Nathan looks for in a Muppet is a little bit different, because not only did I say mean things about Miss Piggy, but Nathan picked Ernie. And of course, Ernie wasn't on my list, but Bert was. I picked Bert.
Yeah.
Bert, what a character. He loves pigeons. He gets frustrated by Ernie. I think that is the comedy gold. Is not Ernie's, slovenly, pointless, rambly ways, but Bert blowing his top because he's very serious and he wants everything the way it is and he has to deal with Ernie and all of his nonsense. I think that as a straight man in a comedy duo, like Bert just builds up his frustration and lets it out like nobody else. It's he's hilarious. I love Bert.
Ernie, you have to watch Castle in the Sky with the subtitles.
And obviously,
Bert is always right. You shouldn't be doing a drum solo in the middle of the night. That's bad roommating.
Yeah, it is.
It's true.
And he collects paper clips.
Bottle caps.
Yeah. No, Bert.
He has a signature dance.
I'm just saying I get Bert, and I think Bert is hilarious. And my endorsement of Ernie and Nathan choosing Ernie in the first round is Bert and Ernie are great. They're a fantastic duo. If I have to pick one of them, I'm going to pick Bert, because I think Bert's the one that brings the comedy home in that relationship. So
you've managed to split them up.
And I split them up.
I only picked Ernie because I was the garbage monster in that relationship between me and my brother.
All right.
Just like Ernie.
Well, I'm picking your brother.
Good choice.
All right. One more round. We're going to do one more round and then we're going to call it a night. So get ready for your last choice. Shelley, you get to select first.
This qualifies as an obscure pick. And
nice.
It's not because it's obscure that I picked it, but because I did kind of come up with a thematic way to think about this. And as we've established, and as I hope we all agree, the Muppets is a patriarchy, perhaps a benevolent
yes.
one, but very much a patriarchy.
Indeed.
Both the characters and most of the performers. And I've chosen a character who is not only female, but is voiced by a female, which is quite a rarity. And it is Erin Oscar was the creator of this character, or performer of this character. I don't know if she created her. In season one of The Muppet Show, and the character is Hilda, the wardrobe mistress.
Oh,
who
yeah.
Who was an Eastern European-sounding character who basically was running around backstage and helping the guest stars find things and do things. And there were lots of sight gags about her girdle popping and stuff like that. And she says she's 35 years old, but she has an aspect of a much older person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just glad to see a female Muppet voiced by a Muppet that isn't voiced by a female and who, separately from being voiced by a female, is not an object of derision as Miss Piggy is rightfully. I am on the Jason side of that argument. I'm a fan of Miss Piggy, although I respect Nathan's choice of picking her, because if you're going to acknowledge that females exist in the Muppets, you got to address the pig factor.
The pig in the room.
All right. Hilda, the wardrobe mistress. Good choice. Good choice. Deep cut, but made for good reasons. I like it. Kelly,
really
it's your
like
choice
her.
Now.
I loved Hilda. I have so many ways I could go, but since I only get one more pick, I'm going to pick one of the Muppets I have seen in real life. And I'm picking this. I've seen several of them in real life, but I haven't, like, I've seen the puppet, but not, like, been able to interact with them in any meaningful way. And in this case, this is actual interaction in a meaningful way with an actual character, and that would be from Muppet Vision 3D, Sweetums.
Nice.
Oh, he's on my
crossing
list.
Him off.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. I love Sweetums. I love him so much, and he was he's another one that has sort of improved over time because he got fleshed out a little bit more and is a little bit more actual character than giant creepy dude, which is kind of how he started in the Muppet Show. And that's what I like about him. And that's why I like him in Muppet Vision 3D. He comes out and starts looking around for where Bean Bunny went. And out of nowhere, there's just this Muppet there. And one time I got to interact with him when we were at Disneyland when I was very small. And I actually got to talk to him for a second. And I got to say hello to him and wave. And he kind of like hunkered down and waved back at me. And I got to give him a hug. And that was it, because then he had to go. But I will always have a soft spot for him. And one of the reasons I love him is because he looks massive and terrifying. And his name is Sweetums.
Yeah,
of course. That's just another standard issue Muppet thing that I enjoy very much. So Sweetums.
Jack, not name.
Jack Job.
Yep. I just know I got to catch up with those guys. Love Sweetums. Monty, your choice.
I'm going to go with the first great Muppet character, who, of course, predates The Muppet Show and Sesame Street. He was created to advertise products.
Oh.
Specifically, canned chow mein. Mm-hmm. Now, canned chow mein sounds awful, but this chow mein
was in my home as a child. I didn't necessarily eat it.
Oh, yeah, in my home, too.
Yep. It was cooked by dragon fire, and to demonstrate this, they created the La Choy Dragon, which was a full-body character, puppeted by Frank Oz, but the voice is by Jim Henson, so this is another character that has both of them. And the way all of the commercials work is you'd have somebody in a supermarket going, "I don't know what to eat." And then this dragon would stomp in, yell, "I'm the La Choy Dragon. It's cooked by dragon fire." And just start knocking everything down with his tail and just destroy the whole set. It was great. I implore you to watch a La Choy Dragon commercial on YouTube today.
Well, all it sounds culturally accurate of how Chinese food is made. Yep.
By a dragon. By a big dragon.
Oh, so no.
And then sealed into cans, which were taped on top of one another.
Delbert and Sweetums and Big Bird.
I don't buy the name Delbert.
The giant Delbert, the La Choy Dragon. That's his name.
I know it says that on the website. I'm looking at it. That's from like comic books or something. It says here on the website that he was recently seen in the Muppet Show comic book family reunion with Skeeter, which I just want to say, Skeeter, technically a Muppet, never been a puppet.
Mm-hmm. Not canon.
Just existed animated.
That's true, yeah.
Interesting.
Skeeter does not exist, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, well, the La Choy Dragon. Quinn, it's your choice.
Well, it's not the La Choy Dragon.
No, all right. Well, you can't have it.
Oh.
You can't have it. Then you were going to pick it, but now you can't
sniped,
get it.
Of course.
Yes. I can't believe it, Monty. Duh, curse you.
No,
it's so good. I love the La Choy Dragon so much, you guys.
I would actually like to pick, Kermit has been picked already, of course, but I'm going to pick his little sweet nephew, Robin the Frog.
Yay. That was my next pick.
I'm choosing Robin for a couple reasons. One, he's adorable. He's so small and so cute. Two, he played Tiny Tim in the Muppet Christmas Carol,
which
is great, and he is perfect as Tiny Tim in it. You know, very good imaginary Muppet casting. But most especially, I have a very close personal connection with Robin the Frog, because when I was a small child, my parents made me a mix CD of a bunch of songs, and the very first song on it was I'm Five by Robin the Frog. And so I've heard that song probably hundreds of times, and I have not listened to it in many, many years, but I bet if someone put on right now, I could sing along to every word, and it will always have a place in my heart. So my pick is Robin.
Excellent pick.
See, it was going to be so my good. Pick because, you know, I love Kermit, and Kermit was already gone. But Robin in particular, I always enjoyed when John Denver would do specials with them, and he and Robin had a special rapport. But when they did the memorial service, and then they did the special for Jim Henson's memorial, where the puppets are coming to terms with, you know, hey, wait, there's stuff down there. What's going on? That's weird. And at the very end of the show, just like they did in the actual memorial service, they sang the song, If Just One Person Believes in You. from the musical Snoopy, which was sort of a strange.
Is that where that's from?
That's from Snoopy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's not a Muppet song.
Well, I believe that. It's a great song.
Yeah. And he starts it off. And it's just that one quiet, sad little voice. And I'm in tears before anyone else joins in. But as more and more Muppets join in, it destroys me every time. Even now, it's like almost 30 years, it still destroys me. But it's that voice.
I love how little of a puppet Robin is, which is different from being a little puppet. But he's like, we talk about how coolly constructed some of the puppets are. There's nothing to Robin, but he's still a complete character, even though he's like a handkerchief at best.
With some eyes. All right. Yeah, Robin is a great pick. Good job, Quinn. Love it. Nathan, it's your choice. I promise not to say mean things about it. Oh, boy.
You say that.
Oh, boy.
Promises, promises, Jason.
Now he has to pick Elmo.
As it was foretold in the before
torture
times.
Could not make me pick Elmo.
I was going to say, I don't think you're going to get Nathan to pick Elmo under any circumstances. I think I'm safe in saying that.
But so I talked about how I liked Ernie because, you know, it reminded me of family dynamics growing up. And that's also the reason why I love this other Muppet. My dad is a wonderful guy. He's one of my heroes. He is a genuinely good man. He's also very serious. His favorite joke is to put on a completely straight face and then say, "I am smiling." When we watch Star Trek, Lieutenant Worf was his guy. He's also very patriotic because he was a career Air Force fighter pilot. And so
this is a weird lead-in for Scooter,
Eagle,
but okay.
When I see Sam the Eagle, I always think of my dad. My dad is not that po-faced or humorless. My dad does not have Sam the Eagle's decidedly right-wing leanings. But I love that Sam the Eagle is a gentle way to poke fun at conservative moral panic. And I love that deep down, Sam the Eagle just isn't that bad a guy. He's just takes things a little too seriously. Plus, I love when I was a kid and I was sick, my mom would let me lie on the couch and watch The Great Muppet Caper on a VCR.
Yes.
And I just love that bit at the end of the Happiness Hotel song where he just leans out of his door and says, "As I said in the beginning of this episode, you are all weirdos. Oh, I love him. He's great. Sam the Eagle's my pick.
But did your dad ever sing Titwillow at any time?
Thank God, no. He would, though.
That's too bad, because that would be great.
So, Nathan, here's the thing about Sam the Eagle. I love him, and he was on my list. It's a wonderful pick. Perhaps my favorite Muppet joke of all Muppet jokes is in A Muppet Family Christmas, where the two-headed monster is St. Nicholas, and Sam the Eagle just appears to say, "Is nothing sacred?"
Among Amazing. The many little gags in the Muppets, the revival movie that I love, is that Sam the Eagle is a talking head on a network that is obviously supposed to be Fox News.
He just takes everything very seriously. I love Sam the Eagle. He's the best.
He really does. And yet he continues to go around with them. You know, he continues to be part of all this chaos, but is still there. Like, it's like he needs to make sure that someone's disapproving of them. And that's the thing about him that I like very much.
It's delightful to have a character that is so humorless to be so funny.
He wants to set them on the right path. All he wants to do is correct the Muppets.
They won't listen.
They won't listen, but he's going to make them listen one day.
He's always a buffoon, but he's also always right. These guys are weirdos. This isn't cultural. Swine Lake.
The two-headed monster casting, a bit questionable.
Yeah. I wouldn't have put them as Santa Claus, but each their own.
I know we keep coming back to Titwillow, but it's when he goes, you know, when he goes, "Are we really going to do this?" And Rolf goes, "Yes." And he goes, "Titwillow, Titwillow, Titwillow." That kills me every time.
I have the Muppet Show album too, and I love the part where he's introducing Wayne and Wanda. "In addition to being tremendous singers, they're church people." That little aside just gets me every time.
I actually like the way he said Wayne and Wanda.
That was
Wanda.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Nobody's favorite characters.
Great character.
I will draft Wayne and Wanda before I drafted Elmo.
Okay. Woo. Well, New Zealand's still on the board, too. Phil, it's your choice.
So, I have the greatest Muppet of all. I have a band leader. I need a villain. I need someone who adds an edge of menace to the proceeding. Someone who frightens the children a little bit. And I'm going to go with a Muppet who actually did frighten the children when he was initially debuted. They had to defang him, as it were. It's the Count!
The Count!
Baby.
Count Von Count! Yay! He was next on my list, Phil. You just sniped me. He was on my list next.
Again, these are beautiful words that you're saying to me, Jason. Again. Jason,
two of my choices sniped in a row.
No, the Count is great. And plus, he's so joyful. He's so happy. All he wants to do is count. And,
you know.
And he'll count all the time.
Love what you do, and you'll never work a day in your life. The Count loves... Who loves his job more than Count Von Count,
but,
I ask you?
No, you may never work a day in your life, but you'll count every day of your life, won't you? One! Yeah.
And you'll make
day,
him count,
two,
Phil. You'll make him
days.
Count.
Yes. The Count, baby.
The Count. One of the best vampires.
That is a good...
He's so good.
It's literally, they're like, Count Dracula. Oh, counting. Got it. And it's like,
and
yes, you do.
It was also inspired by the fact, I guess, that if you throw like marbles at a vampire, he has to stop and count them.
Yeah.
So they
said,
oh, let's make a children's puppet out of that. That sounds great.
Don't mess it up. Like, keep it that simple and you got something. Count by count. Yeah.
In the previously mentioned video of Sesame Street characters doing impersonations,
oh my God.
My
oh,
favorite
he's so good.
Joke is the Count's complete inability to impersonate anyone.
Every character he impersonates is literally himself. It's amazing.
I am Kermit the Frog.
He doesn't do the voice, but he gets to the essence of them.
He does.
Which
he's
epitomized in his version of Ernie is, yes. I am Ernie. I am here to annoy you.
I am here to annoy you.
And that's Ernie's job.
Got it. Nailed him.
And he's an immigrant who brings needed energy to our country. So yes. Welcome, Count.
Welcome
to
the Count. Beautiful. Great pick. But, you know, with Sam and the Count, I'm feeling like my little list here is dwindling, I'm afraid. Two more people to pick before I round us out. David, your choice.
You're safe from me, I think, because I'm going to go with one of the very earliest Muppets Jim Henson ever created, who made his debut along with Kermit in a little show called Sam and Friends. And this is Harry the Hipster. He was sort of a weird jazz hip slang kind of Muppet and very cool and all that. And he would pop up every now and then in other things. I just loved in the 30th anniversary Muppet special they did, where he shows up literally just to ask Kermit why he looked so different. Because Kermit looks totally different from his early days. And it's such a nice little meta joke. And, you know, I love that they brought him in. So.
Harry the Hipster.
Harry the Hipster.
Harry the Hipster.
He's not the Lochoy Dragon.
That
but
is a
that
choice.
That is a deep cut.
That is a choice made for obscurity reasons. So
absolutely. No one was going to snipe that.
No, it's true. It's true. Well, I hope you feel good about yourself, David. And now we're going to move on to Moises.
So I'm going to leave Statler and Waldorf on my Bring Out Your Dead list to go deep cut for Bruno the Trash Man. And the reason that I chose Bruno the Trash Man is because one of my favorite things about Muppetdom is all of the utility things done to make different things possible. Bruno the Trash Man was created so that Carol Spinney could walk around with Oscar. And anticipating that somebody would pick Oscar, I had Bruno on my list so that I could technically pick a little bit of Oscar, but also just point to some of the things that they would build out of necessity so that they could do more stuff with the puppets. I mentioned Osvaldo the Grunion earlier, and at one point, in Follow That Bird, he is one of the various Grouches in the background. They just took his nose off so that it didn't look like the exact same Muppet, but it's the exact same Muppet. That's one of my favorite things about the Muppets is there are the superstars, there are the characters that you know, there are the super deep cuts that made one appearance on a TV special in 1978. But there's also the real artisan craft work that has gone into all of this stuff over these many decades. And I don't think that gets seen as much or celebrated as much, as I wish it did. But I would extend that to all of the Muppets. I'm glad that we're doing this episode, because as much as people talk about Muppets and we think we talk about Muppets, you can't talk about Muppets enough. And so, yeah, I love the stuff that they stayed up until 4 a.m. figuring out so that they could shoot something in the morning to air later that day.
Great. I that's brilliant. I know exactly who you mean. Like, remember, even as a kid, I was like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see right. what they're doing right. there. Because he can carry Oscar around. Oh. It's a great.
Yeah, they weren't trying to fool you. I think
no.
that it was really clever. They wanted kids to go, oh, I get it. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pick one of my very favorite. It turns out I'm going to pick all Sesame Street Muppets, which surprises me here, because I had a bunch of Muppet Show Muppets on my list too. This, I believe, until episode 266, when we talked about the Muppets, I didn't even know what these guys were officially called. But somebody pointed out to me, I believe on a podcast, what they're technically called, because I just knew them as the delightfully weird sock monsters who go yip, yorp, yip, yorp. And the answer is, they're the yip yips. And I pick the yip yips.
Because
I love the yip yips.
They are the best.
Just officially, if somebody says, well, you can't pick all the yip yips, you have to pick one yip yip, I would say, like the blue one, I guess, but it's the last round. I take all the yip yips. You can't have any more yip yips. I have all the yip yips.
They perform together.
They do, and they're not really individual characters. They're a group, which is why I made that rule in the first place. I love them. They're so weird, and they're from space, but they're in the Muppet Show, and they're visiting, and they say nonsense, and they don't understand how the telephone works. And I love the look at them, because again, they kind of drape down like a jellyfish, but they got the big mouth with the eyes on top, and the mouth is like a weird amorphous kind of jaw mouth thing that moves around as they make their weird noises. And as a child, they were the best. I just love those guys. They're so strange, and so I picked the yip yips, the Martians. If you want to call them that, the Yip Yips. They're great.
I've seen people cosplaying as them at conventions, oh, and they are always mobbed.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Everyone
the
is
best.
Delighted.
Yeah. They're the best.
That'd be so good.
They were on my list. I almost picked them. I did almost snipe you.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. And thank you to whoever, and it might have been Monty, it might have been David, who educated me about their proper name, which is they're the Yip Yips. All right. Before we go, I would like to, I'm going to thank everybody and have you very quickly list, don't give me 10, if you had a handful of Muppets left that you wish you had mentioned, you can mention them as you say goodbye. Shelley Brisbane, thank you for being here. Do you have any leftover felt? Bring out your flannel.
I do, and I will give you 3, because I love the way the ensemble Muppets made guest stars on the Muppet shows possible, and this also gives me an opportunity to feature some female characters. So Camilla and the chickens...
Yeah.
The cows, and the best example of a cow I could find, because there weren't very many named cows, was Gladys the cow from Sesame Street.
Gladys!
And then Yolanda the rat.
All right. Excellent. Those are good. Oh, I love the cows. Love the cows. Kelly, thank you for being here. Yeah, any extra Muppets?
I do. I always thought Lou Zealand was hilarious, but I'm not actually. He's only sort of on my list. Harry Monster, who's blue that you don't see near enough of these days. Uh-huh. Guy Smiley.
Yeah.
Who I loved for his host abilities.
Oh.
Prairie Dawn, who I always liked when I was young. I don't know what the Muppet News guy's name is, but the Muppet News guy.
His name is literally the Muppet Newsman.
Yeah, I love him. And my deep cut would be Jim from the Country Trio, if we all remember the bluegrass band.
Yeah.
The banjo player was named Jim. And my special honorable mention is Scooter.
It's Scooter. Okay. That's a lot more than 3, but I guess I couldn't
really
stop
fast,
you.
Though.
You just kept going. Thank you. And Monty, thank you.
Thank you. I have prepared a short list of Bring Out Your Dead.
Okay.
Mr. Bimbo. That's the little man who lives inside Fozzie's finger in Muppet Treasure Island. Left Snouth, which I think is a very funny thing to say. The Ghost of Christmas Future in Muppet Christmas Carol, heck of a Muppet. There's
so
one banana Muppet I always love seeing. He's hilarious. Polly the Lobster from Muppet Treasure Island is fantastic. And finally, shout out to the Muppet I own that I got at FAO Schwartz. It's an official Muppet.
Yeah, the Monty Muppet. Monty's Muppet.
I am so jealous.
Quinn, thank you for being here. People should check out Bear Left, Right Frog on the Incomparable Network. Do you have any extra Muppets for me?
Thank you very much for all of the promo of my podcast. Uh-huh. And I have two quick shout-outs of Muppets that have not been named yet in the main rounds. One of which is Mana Mana, who, as far as I can tell, has done nothing but sing the song Mana Mana. But it's the best song that came out of the Muppets, and I sing it all the time. So have to shout him out. And also want to shout out Julia from Sesame Street, who is an autistic Muppet and one of the newest Muppets to join the Sesame Street gang. And she's awesome. So yay.
Yeah.
Another new Muppet in the new Muppet category. Nathan Alderman, thank you. Any final Muppets?
Yes. Mr. Snuffleupagus. Freddy. Yes.
Snuffy.
Freddy is the dad of two new Muppets on Sesame Street. He is the biological father of Rudy. He is the stepfather of Abby Cadabby, and I always thought that made him a stand-up guy.
That's awesome.
Codependent duo of Johnny Fiamma and Sal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Signs.
No,
yes.
Those are great.
Yes.
God they should damn have made you it. For taking them. Oh.
Pepe took all of the Muppets tonight, Shine, and some of those guys could have made it if Pepe had gotten all the spotlight.
The wistful Ursine striving of Bobo the Bear.
Yep. Oh, Bobo!
Bobo's great.
Yeah. And in flagrant violation of the rules, Rigel the 16th Dominar of the Hynerian Empire. I've said it. You can't make me take it back.
Nope. Sorry. Nope. I love Farscape. Nope. He's not a Muppet. Just a puppet.
Invalidate all his picks.
Yep.
Throw him out.
Philip Michaels, thank you. And do you have any extra Muppets for me?
Do I have some extra Muppets, Jason? Well, since very rude guests took the other people I was considering to be the announcer on my team of Muppets, whether it's Guy Smiley or Muppet Newsman, I'm going to take Louis Kazagar, who is the thinly veiled Howard Cosell Muppet, to do the announcing. Much like Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell, he can be the Don Pardo of this merry gang. Because we need
I
a lady,
love
him. I'm going to take Ovahedda. She's the greatest new Muppet of them all. She is the little lamb that accompanies Murray, the worst Muppet ever. worse even than Elmo, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I can go with that.
Yeah.
Those are strong. No, that checks out.
Ovahedda is great, though, Ben, and she is lovely, and she's a great... great comic timing. You know, I'm going to say Marvin Suggs because someone mentioned him earlier. I think it was Moises. So we're going to include him. And Biff and Sully, the greatest comedy team in all of Sesame Street. And finally, Uncle Traveling Matt, because Fraggles need love too, and he can be the Andy Rooney at the end of the show that talks about his travels to the various parts of the world.
All right.
Those are all the Muppets I know.
That's a lot of Muppets. David,
so many Muppets.
Leftover Muppets. And thank you for being
here. I have exactly three choices, but I make up for it with volume. When you said Marvin Suggs, I was a little worried you would mention this, but you didn't. So I'm going to include the Muppaphone because those poor things kept getting beaten just to make music. And it was the funniest thing when I was six.
yes.
Yep.
And Monty Python's mouse organ?
Musical
not
mice.
As funny.
I was about to say that they stole that. They ripped that off.
That is totally a lift.
Yeah.
But I prefer the Muppaphone. Go figure. One of my favorite dumb jokes from Sesame Street, Sherlock Hemlock.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's not even a pun.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
It's Damn not you. Even a pun.
Damn you.
and then my slight cheat, but it's okay because they helped build Muppets and they were performed by Muppet performers. All the original cast of Avenue Q.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, David. Cheat. Not Muppets. Not Muppets.
Not Muppets. Not
Moises Chuyon.
Just the performers.
Thank you for being
the
here.
The internet is for Muppets.
you might
Muppets.
As well pick Mumford and Sons, David.
Wow. They're marionettes.
I mentioned Statler and Waldorf. I think they have to go as a pair. You can't just pick one or the other. Link Hogthrob, I always found hilariously awful, not awful and annoying, just hilariously awful. Before Big Bird was not taken off the board, I was considering going with Ralph with my first pick in a strategy to do a three Muppet pick of only dog Muppets because there are dog people, there are cat people, and Jim Henson definitely was a dog person. So I would have gone Ralph, Barkley, and Sprocket, old boy, what are you barking at?
That's
how I was going to bring the Fraggles in through the side door.
The only other acceptable Fraggle Rock
character.
What
about Fifi?
There are so many dogs to pick. So many good ones to pick.
Miss Piggy's dog was played by a puppet and a dog. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, that's
the
true.
Only one to play its own real animal.
Thank you for picking Sprocket. Seriously.
And
then
Fizzgig from Dark Secrets or Dark Crystal. So
Dark Secret.
Then, I don't know.
Dark Secret.
Muppets Dark Secrets.
That was the porn version of Dark Crystal. I'm very sorry.
David got my Sherlock Hemlock, and then I had stuff like Meryl Sheep and Placido Flamingo and Ferlinghetti Donizetti. Arlene Frantic, Bennett Snurf, the reference that I didn't understand
Bennett
until
Snurf.
I was 30 years
old. Bennett
Snurf,
oh my god, that's an ancient reference.
Yes, Bennett
Snurf.
Oh,
I love him.
Kermit, I'm sorry.
But it's such a wonderful, wonderful
such a wonderful man, yes. And I considered doing instead of the Electric Mayhem, the Steam Powered Mayhem, and pick like Hoots the Owl and some other musician characters. That was it. And Elmo. Elmo was on my long list. I'll admit it. Elmo was on my long list because not as someone who has kids, but as someone who has been a children's theater performer and a children's entertainment performer for a long time, you know, Elmo's never going to be remotely as annoying to me as he is to a lot of you. And he means a lot to a lot of kids out there. And the way that kids love Elmo.
Heaven help all of us. He connects.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, he works. He does his job.
Like it or not.
No skin off my nose. I don't watch Sesame Street. I'm glad children have a character they like.
The only Muppet that I've seen in person, Elmo. It's a true story. At a space shuttle launch, no less.
Yeah, you know, my favorite moment of watching Sesame Street with my daughter, and this is when I knew she was my daughter. The Elmo part came on, and Elmo says, "Guess what Elmo's thinking about today?" And my daughter says, "Nothing."
Burn.
You're raising the new generation.
Elmo, burn. Love it.
That is good parenting.
Yeah.
All right. And my last non-selection bonus Muppets are... I'm going to pick two Muppets from the most recent Muppet films that I think are good additions to the canon. 80s Robot. Which I think is a hilarious joke and a hilarious character. And Constantine from Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah.
The evil Kermit the Frog with the evil accent, because when he has to pretend to be Kermit but still keeps his Eastern European accent and somehow fools some people, I think it's really funny. Yes, I am Kermit Frog. I am. It's time to put on makeup, right? It's great.
The lovers, the dreamers, and cheese.
Yeah. So those two good characters to come out of the two most recent Muppet films.
Funny. I don't really like Muppets Most Wanted, but that is a really good running
Constantine.
Gag.
It's a good bit.
So
good.
I can go
good
with that.
Bit. Good bit. All right, and that brings us to the end of the Muppet Draft. Yay! And thanks to everybody out there for listening to this episode of The Incomparable. Well, it was us. Who else would do this? We'll see you next week.